Well, we are excited, and this is our third in the trifecta, the triple feature, the triple header, or whatever imagery you want to use, the bonanza I spoke of last night. We've had the bon, we've had the nan, now we get the za in the bonanza. And the cleanup hitter, of course, is the one that's expected to bring everybody home. The previous hitters that got on base or got in scoring position or whatever, the cleanup hitters got to bring it all home. So that's a lot of pressure in that respect. But Pastor Mike Smith is up to the challenge. We're very delighted to have Mike. He spoke last night, delivered the charge last night, and we appreciate the ministry there in Brenham at Country Bible Church. So Pastor Mike, please bring us the word.
Thank you, Bob, for the added pressure. I needed that. Now, I'd really like to thank you for inviting me here and being a part of this marvelous ordination that we have here. It's an honor for me to be numbered among these pastors, and that includes you, Pastor Dan. I'd also like to thank the people of Austin Bible Church. Your hospitality, your love for the Lord results in the love that you show to others, and I certainly feel it, and I appreciate it. I want you to know that I do not want to teach what I'm going to teach this evening or this afternoon. It's an area that is sensitive. It's a hotbed of strong feelings that are all over the board. But it's an issue that I think needs to be addressed. But I'm not addressing it just because it's an issue that needs to be addressed. It's an issue that the Lord has put on my heart to teach, and I can't avoid it. When Pastor Bob asked me to speak to y'all, I said, "Well, what do you want? What's the subject? What do you want me to talk about?" He said, "Anything you want." And I wish he would have said something. That way I wouldn't have to teach what I'm going to teach. And I feel woefully inadequate. But I also feel the hand of the Lord directing me in this direction. What I'm going to teach about is our country, our relationship with it, and what would the Lord have us do. So I think this would be a good time for us to go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you are omnipotent and omniscient, full of grace and mercy. We see that our country is, one of the speakers said, imploding. We need discernment. We need objectivity. And so we address this issue this morning. We pray that you'll give us an open mind and that objectivity so that you can guide us and help us to be a brighter light in a very desperately wicked world and society that we live in. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I think that one way to get to the right answer a lot of times is asking the right questions. And so I have questions that I'm going to address this morning. Let's see, where's the B? Y'all see that? Okay. And the first one is, will America survive? Is that a realistic question or is it an exaggeration? There's a lot of people that would say, oh, well, we've had our downs and we've had our ups. This is just a little snag that we are addressing today. After all, the United States is a superpower. This is the land of the free and the home of the brave. And so that's something that we need to address is, what is our mindset about what's happening to our country? Are we at the edge of a cliff? Or is this something that we can just dismiss? Are the people of this country ready to acknowledge what our country has become? This is a hard one. Because the easiest thing to do is ignore reality and say it's really not all that bad. I think before we can actually do what is pleasing to the Lord in any fashion, we have to be ready to face reality of the situation. The Lord vividly gives us a description of that when he said, without me, you can do nothing. I think that's a dose of reality. And when it comes to our country, there are those who don't want to face reality. It's too ugly. It's too devastating. And yet we cannot, as Christians especially, make correct decisions and operate apart from facing reality as it is, and it can be difficult. What I'm saying is that it's hard to recognize that the allegiance and the loyalty that we have had for a country, it's hard to recognize that that country no longer exists. It's painful. But we have to get to that reality before we're ready to get into the remedies. What are we to do? Are they, that I'm talking about the people, ready to acknowledge the following? I have that in red because I think it's very important. There's a point where forbearance and toleration are no longer a virtue, when authority is no longer legitimate, and when submission is no longer required. Government can become so corrupted by evil that continued allegiance and submission to it becomes evil as well. I wrote a book last year called Tolerating Tyranny, Security Sought and Freedom Lost. And that's a quote from that book. I put it on the back cover because that's essentially what the book is about. And what I'm saying is that we have to come to that point to realize that being a good patriot is not submitting to tyranny or evil. That's hard for us to recognize that it applies to America. And yet, I think this is what we have to do. I started a series titled Will America Survive? June the 28th of this year, the first Sunday after the Supreme Court of the United States made its devastating, despicable decision on same-sex marriage. I was moved to do this because there is, I guess what you could say, normal sin. We understand that all sin is devastating. Fornication, for example, is a sin, but it's normal. That's not to excuse it. But we have gone beyond that into homosexuality and lesbianism and all types of unnatural type sins. And it's shocking how far we've gone down that trail already. By the way, I taught that in 13 lessons. And I'm going to try to compress that into one. And I'm going to try very hard not to rush through it because that's my tendency. And I have done that in the past. And I had a goal. I'm going to get to this point. And Pastor Dan, this might be a little note for you. You can be successful and you can get through the material. And you can be proud about that. But when you go so fast and nobody gets it, what have you done? So I'm going to try not to rush through it. And I doubt that I will get through it. We'll just get through when we get through. Let's see. When did we start? Oh, okay. All right. The majority of the justices took it upon themselves to unlawfully and recklessly declare an immoral perversion to be a constitutional right. The political prejudice of unelected justices replaced the rule of law. And let me say something, because I'm going to talk some about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. In this country, what separates us from the banana republics and all other nations is our Constitution, and that our country is founded upon the Declaration of Independence, which for the first time in history recognizes that our rights come from God and not a king and not from a government. And this land flourished because of God's blessing upon it, because they recognize that. And so when you have justices that are no longer making decisions based on the rule of law, and the rule of law has to do with the Constitution, but we recognize there's a higher law as well, and that's God's law. In fact, all legitimate law comes from God. Then we get into, as some might say, the weeds. Not long ago, homosexuality was considered to be a perversion. It was against the law, and the psychiatric community listed it as a mental disorder, and Christians recognized it as an abomination to God. Now, you are all old enough here to recognize that. 10 years ago here in Texas, one could get arrested for engaging in homosexual activity, but now it's not only accepted, it is celebrated. Gay pride parades take place all over the country. And I don't know about you, but I'm aghast. I'm wondering, how could this happen? 10 years, how fast does that go by? And we went from it being against the law and this condition to now the majority of the people of this country are all for it. I'm amazed. And to make matters worse, nearly everyone in the country considers the Supreme Court's opinion to be the law of the land. I'm sure you've heard people say that. Well, I'm going to debunk that right now. Article 1, Section 1 of the U.S. Constitution. This is the first article, the first thing mentioned in the Constitution. That's how important it is. It says, all, and I have underlined all, legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in the Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and House of Representatives. I want you to note the Supreme Court is not in there. So how can the Supreme Court decision be the law of the land if it can't even be a law? A good question. When the Supreme Court justices rule on an issue, their opinion does not become the law of the land, and I'll expand on that a little bit in a moment. Their opinion is binding only on the parties to the case and considers only the specific circumstances pertaining to that particular case. Now, we have been so dumbed down, and we have been accustomed to hearing things that are not so. For instance, most of the things that happen in our judicial system is based on what they call case law. That's an oxymoron. A case is an opinion. When the judges, juries, and all this rule on something, it is a decision or an opinion. It is not law. As I just pointed out, only the Constitution says only the Congress can make law. And what the judicial system from the top down is supposed to make decisions based on is the highest law in the land, which is the Constitution, not based on previous laws. Because if you do that, somewhere back, maybe way back there, there was a decision that was horrendous. And listen, our Supreme Court has made some real doozies. And if you base the rest of the laws based on that, then you get to the condition that we're in now. At least that's one of the reasons. Article 6, Section 2 of the U.S. Constitution. This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made pursuant thereof, shall be the supreme law of the land. Now, this tells us what is the supreme law of the land. It's not just the Constitution. It's the Constitution and the laws made pursuant thereof. Unfortunately, there are a tremendous amount of laws that are made and forced upon the people that are not pursuant to the Constitution. The pursuant means that is in harmony with, that agrees with the Constitution. So what if Congress or anyone else passes a law that is not pursuant to the Constitution? Well, here's a Supreme Court decision. Mulberry versus Madison said that all laws which are repugnant to the Constitution are null and void. They have no power whatsoever. Another Supreme Court decision. This was Norton versus Shelby. An unconstitutional act is not law. It confers no rights. It imposes no duties, affords no protection. It creates no office. It is in legal contemplation as inoperative as though it had never been passed. These are not secrets. This is part of the law of this country. I mean, this is a Supreme Court decision, but it's recognizing what the law is. Furthermore, the federal government can only operate within the confines of a few well-defined, enumerated powers that are specifically stated in the Constitution. For a lot of people, this would be shocking, because when you see how we are functioning as a country today, it has no relationship to what I'm showing you. And the reason is because, for the most part, they have ignored the Constitution. They have blatantly defied it. And they're getting by with it because the people are allowing them to. And one reason they're allowing them to do it, or a couple of reasons, is because of ignorance. Because of fear and because of apathy. Those are the trifecta of being our enemy. This is Article 10 of the Bill of Rights. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution or prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively and to the people. Now, what that means is that the federal government cannot do anything unless it is specifically given as an enumerated power in the Constitution. And there's about 17 things outlined that the government can do. The great majority of what our government is doing today is unconstitutional. And this is not, it just didn't happen overnight. This has been happening over a long period. Incrementally, boiling the frog little by little. Some people think that, well, the government can do anything it wants to do unless it's, they think it can do anything that it wants to do unless it is specifically denied in the Constitution. That's the vast difference from saying it can't do anything unless it is specifically stated. You see, the federal government has a particular jurisdiction. And this is, by the way, the way this country was founded and what we see here is that the states are superior to the federal government. They created the federal government. And always the creator is superior to the creation. We have that relationship with God, do we not? But that's been lost because over a long period of time, we've been given myths and we've been given lies. Our public school systems, some call them government schools, have taught otherwise. And the people who are in office, you think, well, surely they know what they're doing. They know about all this. Well, if you listen to them, they are saying federal law always trumps state law. Not true. Federal law only in that small prescribed jurisdiction that they have. They cannot go into the states and change or interfere or do anything unless it's in an area that's specifically granted to them in the Constitution. Nowhere in the U.S. Constitution is marriage even mentioned because that issue is reserved to the states or to the people, according to the article we just see here. The federal government has absolutely no right or authority to interfere with or make demands on the states regarding the issue, these issues, and a host of others as well. And what I'm looking at is what has recently happened. We're talking about the federal government coming in and telling the states what they can and cannot do with marriage, and they have, it's not enumerated anywhere. They have no right to do it. The Supreme Court had the unmitigated gall to ignore 31 states that had lawfully amended their constitution to say that marriage is between one man and one woman. That is the law in the states. And so what happened, the Supreme Court makes this horrible decision. Everybody starts saying that's the law of the land. And you remember in Kentucky, the clerk, Kim Davis, stood up for her rights. And when they came in, I've seen it on video, where the two homosexual men were demanding that she give them a license to marry. And she says, no, I will not. They said, on what authority do you say that? And she said, upon God's authority. And because of that, the governor of that state put her in jail. Now, if anybody needed to be in jail, it was him. He was breaking the law. Because the law in that state said marriage is between one man and one woman. Federal, this, by the way, was a federal judge. And they have no jurisdiction there whatsoever. And yet, you have people across the country saying, well, she was doing wrong because when the Supreme Court made their decision, that's the law of the land and she's supposed to follow it. In fact, she was the only one in that whole scenario that was following the law, and she was a Christian and got put in jail because of it. This is one of many examples of how far our society has degenerated into a cesspool and how much our government has ignored our freedoms. Do you know that it's society that degenerates and then the government comes behind and legalizes the degeneracy? That's what we see happening. So why should Christians be interested in all this information about the law and the Constitution? We're in church. What are we talking about this far? I mean, the Constitution and so forth. Because it's a powerful tool to help us stand for justice and righteousness, which we must do if we're to take our country back. And because of ignorance or because of fear, whatever reasons, Christians could be, they have another tool, they have another way to stand for what is right and what is just. And by the way, we have the obligation to do that, do we not? And we can say, well, the Bible is against that. Is against homosexuality. God condemns it as abomination. And for many, if not most of the country, oh, well, you're just a Bible thumper. We don't listen to that. But look at what we're not saying. We not only have biblical laws and principles on our side to resist tyranny, we have the Constitution and the laws of the United States made pursuant to it as well. You know, Hosea says the people perish for lack of knowledge. You know, what good is it for the Constitution to delineate your rights if you don't know it. If you don't know you have rights, you don't really even have them, do you? Fear, ignorance, and indifference are our enemies, and things will get worse if we don't overcome them. And so these are the things that we must address in our own soul about these issues. What the Supreme Court did was monumentally monstrous, but it was only a small blip on the American radar screen. The LGBT, are y'all familiar with that? You know, sometimes I see they added a Q on the end of that. And I'm not sure what, I asked somebody, what is the Q for? I thought it might be queer. But they said, well, that's questioning. In other words, I think they mean, well, you're not sure, so that we'll throw that in as well. So the LGBT mobs were celebrating wildly and dancing in the streets while Christians just sighed and said, oh, well, that's what I saw to a large degree. Where's the outrage? A Gallup did a poll the day the court made its decision on same-sex marriage and found that nearly 60% of the American people agreed with the court. That made me want to cry. Here in America, 60%. And of course, so many things are connected and interlinked. This is a godless society that would say that we think this is just fine. So it's the pastors that are not doing their jobs in teaching their congregations about the historical and the biblical perspective of the relationship between Christians and the government. And many times it's either that they don't know how to teach that, they don't know what it is, or else they are afraid to teach it. And last night I was talking about the pastors who tickle ears. When pastors do that across the country, and I'm not talking about any of the pastors here, but American pastors tickle ears, and a result of it is what we're seeing manifested and what's happening in this most egregious and abominable thing that's happening in our country. Homosexuality has been decriminalized, then legalized, then declared a right. It has gone from being a crime to a constitutional right in one decade. Most Christians have become bystanders, spectators, who may avoid evil but do nothing to confront it or resist it. They don't even think, many of them, that they have any biblical ground to do so. But all we have to ask our question is God pleased when we comply with evil? James 4:17, there is no one who knows the right, to the one who knows the right thing and does not do it, to him it is a sin. The motto for many Christians, don't rock the boat, just go along to get along. See, some even go so far as to comply with evil rather than make a stand for righteousness, justice, and freedom. Are we not required to do that as representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ? Ephesians 5:11, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. To some degree, that's what I'm trying to do this morning, is expose them and stand for righteousness and justice. Proverbs 1:15 through 16, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil and hasten to shed blood. I'm sure y'all have heard this before from Edmund Burke. All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Psalm 26:4-5, I do not sit with the deceitful men, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. Psalm 94, 23, 21. Can a throne of destruction be allied with you? One which devises mischief by decree? They band themselves together against the life of the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. Jesus said, he who is not, this is Matthew 12, 30, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. There is no neutral ground in the angelic conflict. And we are either going to go along to get along and be identified with a government that has lost its way, or we're going to have to contend with it. That is, we are going to have to stand, whatever the cost, for righteousness and justice and truth. Okay, is America at war with God? Here's another question. Now, when I say America, I'm not including everyone. You might be saying I'm editorializing this. I don't think that this church, Country Bible Church, and many doctrinal churches across the country, I'm not including them in asking the question, are they at war with God? But I would suggest that the majority of the population of this country is at war with God. And I'll show you what I'll explain what I'm talking about. Here are a few battle slogans used against God. Love is love. This was the mantra when this Supreme Court made this decision. This is what they were saying. Love is love. This slogan teaches that the Bible is wrong to condemn homosexuals, lesbians, and bisexuals because of different types of because different types of love is a myth. Love is love. This teaches that there is no difference between the intimate love between two men or two women and the intimate love between a husband and his wife. Love is love. And we know that that's a damnable lie. Is that not true? Marriage equality. Traditional marriage is not superior to same-sex marriage. The slogan reflects the decision of the Supreme Court of the United States. So when they say that those who say that marriage is just between a husband and wife has been disproven by the Supreme Court, and now because of their decision, we can see that people that ascribe to that are not equal. They are advocating something that is unequal. And of course, we recognize that if you can equate two men and two women getting married because it's all equal, what's to keep it from being multiple wives, marrying in the family, marrying your pet? That's where we're headed. Because they changed the definition of marriage. They didn't change it, but they tried to. God has already said what marriage is. Whatever they call what they're doing, it's not marriage, and yet they're saying that it is equal with what God has made. Love wins. Teaching that intimate love between two men or two women wins over the hateful, prejudice, and homophobic people who say love is not godly, or legitimate. They're talking about this kind of love. And so, love wins over the prejudice, and you are prejudiced, and I am prejudiced if I say that that marriage is only between one man and one woman. Well, you're prejudiced, but our kind of love wins, and we can prove it because look what the Supreme Court said. The rainbow. Homosexuals stole God's beautiful sign in the sky to represent the all-inclusive paradigm of the LGBT movement. Just as a rainbow has every color, the LGBT Association accepts just about every sexual viewpoint except the Bible's. Homosexuals have taken a symbol associated with God's grace to man and turned it into a symbol of man's celebration of sin. By the way, they also stole a good word that I used to use that I don't use anymore, and that's gay. If you tell somebody you had a gay old time today, they kind of raise their eyebrows. That was a good word. But again, it doesn't have anything to do with this perversion, just as the rainbow has nothing to do with their perversion, and yet you see it everywhere, which I'm going to show you in a moment. Understand this. This is a quote from Pastor Chuck Baldwin. And he says, understand this. Once any society universally embraces and promotes the sodomite lifestyle, there is no going back. One cannot find a single civilization in history that has survived once homosexuality has become a driving, dominant force over it. It is both a divine and natural law, and dare I say that many of our Christian churches, schools, colleges, and universities have become breeding grounds for homosexual behavior. It is tragic that we have children in elementary school, junior high, and high school that struggle with whether they are homosexual or not. They're even struggling with, am I really a male? Am I really a female? Not that far from here, even closer to Brenham, where I'm from, y'all might have noticed the hero ordinance in Houston. There is a rabid lesbian mayor there, well, there isn't anymore, but there was, that was trying to push her agenda on the people without having the people have voice in it. It was labeled the bathroom amendment or ordinance. And the ordinance said that if you are male, but you think that you're a female, that you can go into women's restrooms and showers and dressing rooms and so forth. And you don't even have to dress up like a woman if you just thought that's what you are. Is that insanity? How could that be happening? I don't know. I'm thinking, I got to wake up. This is a dream. And yet, they put it as to vote on it. The people voted on it, and they decidedly voted it down. And thank the Lord for that. But I'm wondering how many of those Christians are responsible for putting her in there to begin with. Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, said, our nation will not like what's at the end of this rainbow. Now, I need to I have to go to another slide. Pastor Bob, could you come up here just a minute? I might have a trouble. I meant to put these on here. I mean, they're on my deal here. Oh, I found them. Okay. Is that coming up? Do I have to double-click that?
Yeah,
double-click it. Okay. There it is. Okay. Let me put that one down. Okay. All right. That's good. I think I got it. Now, what I'm going to do is bring into view about these. I call them, these are actually enemy attacks. Where is that? There it is. Okay. We're talking about the rainbow. This is what happened after this was passed. These are bridges that across the country were putting these lights up to celebrate that decision. These are fountains around, and they are in different parts of the country celebrating. A Christmas tree. Can you believe? A Christmas tree, and they have these different colored bulbs and so forth. The Empire State Building. Here you have in Hong Kong, this is worldwide. You had another building here. This is the government building in Denver. All on board with this. Princeton University, I think this was their library. And this one's one of the saddest of all. This is the White House. I don't know if y'all saw this, but it lit up in colors in support of it as well. And then here's another picture I have of it. These are the homosexuals that are out in front celebrating, kissing and all that with the colors behind. This is so sad. Now, I'm going to show you some advertisers that big name businesses that were on board and celebrating this. This is Visa, and it says, love accepted everywhere. This is American Airlines, and it says, We're on board. Diversity strengthens us all. And today we celebrate marriage equality and the landmark Supreme Court decision. Labels for products, not people. This is Procter & Gamble. We support and respect everyone's right to be who they are. Love wins. Love has no labels. Pride Month. And then 2015. Oop, what'd I do? Okay, I don't know. I'm going to X this. I hope I don't. Okay. Let's. Do what? I did? How do I, can I get off of there? Oh, okay. I don't know what I did. Are we good?
I think so.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Okay, this is YouTube, and of course this has these disgusting pictures up here. And it says, the United States took a step in the right direction today, proud to love. Delta. Today we join employees and customers in celebrating of marriage equality. JetBlue, love is in the air. Let freedom wing. Oh, isn't that clever? Supreme Court, marriage equality. Snap equality. This is Orbitz. Marriage equality is legal. Show us how you celebrate. Two men there. I don't know. I go to Whole Foods sometimes. This is a Whole Foods, and they have all the different colors of food there. And it says, yes, love wins. You see the slogans that they were using, and this is how they are attacking God, in my opinion. This is Expedia. Love wins. Proud to celebrate marriage equality and grateful on behalf of our diverse customers, partners, and employees. Love wins. Old Navy and Gap. Happy Pride, everyone. Love wins. The Gap. Equality is in style. We've been proud supporters since 1969. Love wins marriage equality. Here, evidently, there's a Gap Incorporated, and they have the same thing, love wins. AT&T, love is love. This is Starbucks coffee. Proud, love wins. And you see the rainbow in all these. This one's especially disgusting to me. It's Macy's. It says, from this day forward, love is love. And you see the book behind there. It says, Mr. and Mr. And then two brides on there. Okay. Did I go back on there again? What did
Some
I do?
Of those have hyperlinks.
Oh, I must have hit. Can you? Okay. I think that's the last one in that bunch. Let's see. Oh, that's the end. Okay. All right, y'all bear with me for just 1 second. You hadn't had enough yet. I want to get your belly full. How do I get back to where I can see it on the bottom? Oh, okay, now I can go. What I do, I can just minimize that. Mm-hmm. And I get off of there, just minimize, exit that. Okay, now I want to go. I guess I can just bring it up here, this A. What am I doing? Yeah. Buttons and I don't get along real well on the computer.
I'm going to throw away that mouse.
Okay. Okay.
Down arrow too.
Oh, okay. All right. Any of y'all ever eat Kellogg's breakfast? Kellogg's, see the mat is the rainbow color. Kellogg's congratulates LGBT Americans on marriage equality and love wins. Jell-O love. Jell-O is for everyone, so is love. Oh, boy. Ben and Jerry, love wins. Love is love, marriage equality. This is Maytag. Here's defining the one. Finding the one who completes you. You have two guys there. And it talks about the marriage deal. Cheerios. Love is love. And now no one can tell you otherwise. Love wins. Coca-Cola. It's now official. Love is love. Love wins. How do you pronounce that? Absolute. Finally, love is love and love wins. This is Sears. Golly, Sears? When I was a little kid, you see it's got the rainbow and the two. I say, love is love, love wins. And love wins, and this is tied, and soulmates. See, they have the socks. Isn't that clever? Love wins, and soulmates can finally be together. Pride. This is City, I guess Citibank. Join us as we ride with pride this week on 200 festively wrapped Citibanks bikes. Levi's. Today we celebrate the Supreme Court's historic step forward in the fight for marriage equality. Love wins. This is a MasterCard, and it's a video of a lesbian down on one knee proposing to another lesbian. Love matters. Happiness matters. Acceptance matters. Marriage equality. Pepsi Cola. Cheers, America. Love wins. Target. Here's to having, holding, and marrying who you love. Now, I don't know if it's the next slide, but I'm going to prepare you. There's one here that is especially offensive. So like when they, on the news, they're going to present something, they're giving you a warning, I'm giving you a warning. I don't know if it's the next one or not, but it's coming up soon, so I'm just telling you. There it is. Iconic Iwo Jima flag recreated with gay pride flag. This is so repulsive, I can't even begin to tell you. I don't have to tell you. You see it, and I heard your response when you saw it. I don't know how you can become more offensive than this. If we as a nation do not follow Nineveh's example, when Jonah went to Nineveh, if we don't follow Nineveh's example by humbling ourselves and repent under the mighty hand of God, and if we don't stand for truth, righteousness, and freedom now, America will not survive. Okay. Now, I want to get back to where I was on my... Can you help me here, Dr. Vesterbaum? Yeah, the one that I originally started. What time?
Whenever.
Oh, no. I have to bring it to an end here somewhere.
Is that the one?
Yeah. Oh, let's see. It's the one that's A. Not that one. That's it.
Is it?
Yeah, okay. I can just make that big now, right? Okay. Okay. Do you understand now why I said that America is at war with God, and these are the slogans against Him? Is that showing up there? Okay. The reason I showed you that, I apologize for putting you through it. I wanted to demonstrate how pervasive this is. You have, and this is just some of the large corporations, the big businesses in this country, that are on board enough to advertise and celebrate this. The people who do not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are not getting fed doctrine, what is their defense to being on board of this as well? The enemy is strong, and yet I think that the bottom line is that the only way that this nation is going to survive is to humble themselves under the mighty hand of the Lord, like Nineveh did. I didn't live in Nineveh, and they were the exceedingly violent and wicked. But I would say we might not be there, but we're very much on our way. And the remedy is the same. It is the people's attitude towards God that is going to determine whether the nation survives or not. Government entities are openly and unabashedly harassing citizens, teaching and espousing, harassing citizens, teaching and espousing their Christian faith. Elected and appointed officials are intimidating and, yes, persecuting those simply practicing their spiritual beliefs and conviction in the course of their lives. This is by Joseph Farah in Whistleblower Magazine. Now, what I'm saying is what's happening is our government, and all three branches are on board with this, is looking at Christians who stand up and say, no, we will not participate in that, and make a stand based on their faith and their stand for justice and righteousness. And the courts are saying that's discrimination. You're discriminating against other people, and they are enforcing that. They are being fined and put in prison. And we're not going to be static. It's not going to stay there. It's going to get worse. The big media, which operates under the same First Amendment protections established to guard the free exercise of religion, have remained virtually silent on the new and increasing wave of persecution and harassment. And that's taking place in our country, America. How could it be? Our nation is turning against the very principles on which it was founded. The LGBT militants are demanding that we accept the immorality of homosexuality and same-sex marriage, or suffer the consequences which are being administered by our liberal courts through unconstitutional and immoral anti-discrimination laws. And I just, what I was telling Dan last night, Pastor Dan, in the charge, was one of the main things that we were to do was, and it was the only one in the present tense in those nine verbs, was to be sober, which means remain calm. Don't lose control. But you know what? That doesn't mean that it's wrong to have having a burning righteous indignation inside of us and say, shame on these people that are doing this. That is legitimate. And I don't know how many Christians are doing that, but I think that we are held responsible. A lot of people say, well, what can we do? I've got a lot more, so I'm going to have to start coming to an end here. What we can do is whatever situations we find ourselves in, whoever we are talking to, I think that we need to raise our voice and stand for truth, justice, righteousness, and freedom. That's a start. Rather than what so many Christians are doing is nothing. Now, some would say, well, that's Christian activism. And they would say that this is something that is to be condemned because you're not really trusting the Lord. If you were trusting the Lord, you would pray for the nation and maybe vote, but you don't want to get involved any more than that. You don't want to really get involved, because if you do, you're not trusting the Lord to take care of it. And I think that's destructive. I think that it's true that we live in the world and we're not of the world. I've heard that. But that does not mean that we are not to engage in the fray that is taking place on this planet and in this country. Where was Jesus Christ? He was out in the roads and he was engaged with the people. And you have Elijah. You have even Moses. And you had, Daniel. And you have multiple examples of people in the Bible that stood up for what was right, opposing and going contrary to what the authority over them was, which most of the time it was a king. What did God do to those people? Did he punish them? No, he blessed them. And that's an aspect that I think we need to at least consider. I think that might be coming up here. Let's see. I'm just showing here, these are all the places that this decision has affected. Oh, here's a poem. I'm glad I got to this poem. I guess I'll end on this poem because what is left is more than what I've covered so far. so I can't just go on. Here's a poem, and this lady is a dear lady, and I had no idea. She came up and handed this to me. She said, "I just wanted you to see this." And the name of the poem is "America, Where Are You?" And she presented this to me on July the 4th. And there was a problem for me. On July the 4th, we celebrate, and I was not in the mood to celebrate after that decision, what I see happening. And she kind of encapsulated what my thinking was at this time with this. "I looked up at our flag today. Instead of pride, I bowed to pray and asked my Lord, what can I do to help America return to you? America, my home, where did you go? I never thought you'd sink so low. Let's blame politics. It's all their fault. The wrongs progressed. We never fought. We saw it happen and said, oh well. The wise stood silent while America fell. God help our beloved land and take us back where we began." Sometimes people surprise you of what's in them. People ask me sometimes, is there any hope? Of course there's hope. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in control of everything. But I can tell you, there is no hope if our country continues in the path that it's taken, because they are not only ignoring God, they are defying God. They're shaking their fist at God. What are you going to do about it? And our only hope, our salvation, is in the Lord. But the Lord does not expect us to remain silent and comply with evil. I believe He expects us to stand up for what is right. Because how else can we be good and faithful servants? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this place, an oasis in a sea of darkness, and the other pastors and the other churches that are likewise. We pray that you will give us strength that we don't have, and direction and discernment in handling all issues of this life, but one that is so pressing that we need your instruction and your guidance. So we pray that you will help us to have the courage to speak out, the accuracy, and we do it in love, not in anger, protest, but because this nation is suffering, and you are the only one that has the answer. We thank you for this time that we were able to come here and do this very wonderful thing that brings glory to you, and that is ordaining Pastor Dan. It was an honor. It really points to your faithfulness, that you will continue to rise up men who are prepared and willing and ready to go forth and proclaim the good news. We pray that you will add your blessing to this church and all the others here representative. And we thank you for being able to be a part of something that is bigger than ourselves. We pray this all in the name that is above all names, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.